this day, in Jesus' name. If I was to ask you what is the average size of an Australian family today, what would you say? 2, 4. Now, we're talking about the number of family members living in one household. And according to the stats from 2022, the average Australian household has 2.59 people in it. And you feel sorry for that 5.59, don't you? And for the last century, families have been shrinking. And this is a trend that's consistent not only in Australia, but right around the world. The Bureau of Stats for 1911 said the average family size was 4.5. So we've dropped two people. The families are shrinking. And there's an old story about a pastor who was visiting a large family in his congregation. And I think back to my youth days, and there was a family that had 14 and a brother had 16. And he asked one of the sons, "How many children in your family?" 9, the boy replied. The pastor said, "Wow, so many children, it must cost a lot." "No, no," the boy said, "we don't buy them. We just raise them." And you know, even our considerably smaller families can seem like a handful sometimes, can't they? There's a woman named Paige Kellerman. She posted on Twitter, "The great thing about having 4 kids is having 4 people to watch me bring the groceries in all by myself." Today I'm focusing on the Old Testament rather than the Gospel reading. The passage for today was about a blended family, the family of Jacob, Rachel, Leah, and Rachel and Leah's handmaids, Bilhah and Zilpah. Together they had 12 sons and 1 daughter. And they didn't buy those, a single one of them, they raised them all. But sadly, they didn't raise their children to support one another. Jacob made it crystal clear that he favoured young Joseph above all his other children, even giving him a special robe to denote his favoured status. And this caused his brothers to burn with envy. In verse 4 of our passage, we had, "When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him." You know, we have seen this story before. We see it sometimes in our own families or in the families of our neighbours or friends. We see it also in Scripture. The first human family was torn apart by envy. Cain envied Abel, and the end result? Murder. Jacob envied Esau. The end result? Two brothers alienated from one another until finally Jacob humbled himself and asked for a reconciliation. Rachel envied Leah, and Leah envied Rachel. And the end result? Bilhah and Zilpah, their maidservants, were forced to bear children for Jacob. And now Joseph, an innocent teenager, is the target of his brother's envious rage. There's a woman named Marianne Wright posted another comment on Twitter from a 6-year-old child who just learning the rules of punctuation. And she said, "Today I ended a sentence with 2 catastrophes in a period." Well, because his brothers envied Joseph, Joseph's day is about to end with 2 catastrophes and a period. They stripped him of his fine robes, throw him into a dry cistern, and then sell him to a passing caravan of Ishmaelites who are on their way to Egypt. Just remember the origins, the story of how the Ishmaelites formed. When Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting for God to provide them with a promised son? Sarah gave a handmaid, Hagar, to Abraham. Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, and Hagar seemed to think she had some advantage over Sarah. So Sarah, perhaps burning with envy, drove Hagar and the baby Ishmael into the desert where God protected them and declared a gracious promise over Ishmael's life. And now the Ishmaelites have bought the favoured son, Joseph, to be a slave. And that brings me to the first question I have from this life of Joseph. Who are you when everything that matters to you has been torn away? When all that is left in this moment in front of you, this aching, this lonely, bewildering moment, when you have the choice to withdraw, to explode, or to trust God. You know, in just a matter of hours, everything that mattered to Joseph, everything that defined his life, was torn away from him. His safety, his security, his home, his family, his very freedom. He went from favored son to exiled slave in a blink of an eye. You know, loss of this magnitude strikes at our very identity. Loss of a loved one causes us to question who we are without them in our lives. Loss of a job causes us to question our competency, whether or not we have anything to contribute to this world. And when our pain causes us to turn from God, we lose the ultimate foundation for our identity, our purpose, and our security. So how do we regain our sense of identity? There was an English runner, Sir Mo Farah. He was an Olympian track star. He won 4 Olympic medals for 500 and 1,000 metre races. Well, 6 world titles. And he revealed just a couple of years ago that he was also kidnapped from his home in Somalia and brought to the UK when he was 9 years old. When civil war had broken out in his hometown of Somalia, his father had been killed in the genocide, and Farah's widowed mother sent him to live with relatives in Djibouti. And one day a woman took him from his relative's home. She had seen that little Hussein, that was his real name, had relatives in the UK who wanted to meet him. The woman gave him fake travel documents with the name Mohammed Farah and flew with him to the UK. But when they arrived at her apartment in London, she took that paper with the relatives' names and contact information on it and tore it up and threw it in the rubbish. Samo says, at that moment, I knew I was in trouble. That woman made the 9-year-old boy into her domestic servant, forcing him to do housework and childcare in order to get food. He says a woman told him that if you ever want to see your family again, don't say anything. When he was 12, the family finally allowed him to enroll in school, and he was way behind his classmates, as you can imagine. The teachers reported that he was withdrawn and alienated from others. But the one time he relaxed and appeared to thrive was on the running track. And eventually Farah opened up to his PE teacher, Alan Watkinson, and told him about being kidnapped. Watkinson called social services, and they got Farah removed and placed with a Somali foster family. And he says, I still miss my real family, but from that moment everything got better. I felt like a lot of stuff had been lifted from my shoulders. I felt like me. He continued to excel in track and began to get some publicity for his athletic achievements. And one day a Somali woman living in London gave him a tape. And Farah recognised the voice on the tape as that of his mother, singing traditional songs for him. Someone had managed to track down his mother and connected her with the Somali community in London. And so Mo Farah and his son travelled to Somaliland soon afterwards for a joyful reunion with his mother and two of his brothers. It was in 2022 that he chose to speak about what had happened to him. Initially, a barrister advised him not to, because he'd come into the country illegally and they might have thrown him out. But he was assured by the Home Office that no, that would not happen. And he speaks about it in the hopes that other victims will get help and be reunited with their families. What a tough life. So who was Joseph when everything that mattered was torn away from him, like Samoa? Well, he was still a child of God. That merciful God who had led his family for generations. That faithful God who had promised to make them into a great nation. Joseph was a child of that God. And you know what? So are we. It's the one thing that can never be taken away from us. And in his worst moments, when Joseph had lost control over everything in his life, he could still control one thing. He could honour God in his current circumstances, whatever they were. And Joseph displayed a godly, wise and trustworthy character while in captivity in Egypt. A government official's wife tries to seduce Joseph, then makes false accusations against him. Joseph is thrown into prison, where he helps Pharaoh's officials by interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. In everything, Joseph trusts in God and seeks to do God's will. In his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson writes, "Discipleship is a decision to live by what I know about God, not what I feel about him, or myself, or my neighbours." And that's what Joseph did. He made a decision in the worst of circumstances to live by what he knew about God. He didn't let his loss derail him or his circumstances define him. His godly integrity and wisdom impressed Pharaoh so much that eventually he appointed Joseph to be governor over all the land of Egypt. He had faith in God. Norman Vincent Peale, many years ago, addressed a student body at the Naval Air College in Florida. And he was flown back after that, addressing the students. And as they headed back towards New York, the skies became increasingly clouded and the pilot could no longer navigate by sight. And Peale suggested that they land in Philadelphia, but the pilot assured Peale that he didn't need to see where he was going to get to New York safely. He trusted the instruments on his panel to keep him flying on the right course. And in spite of the thick fog and limited visibility, that pilot made a perfect landing in New York. And when Dr. Vincent Peale complimented the pilot on his skill, the man replied, "You know, the primary thing it took was faith." He said, "When I'm flying in overcast conditions, I have to have faith in these instruments. I know they work. They're constantly tested. I know they may be counted upon. I have implicit faith in them. If I didn't have that faith, I might say to myself, well, maybe this instrument isn't exactly right, so I could do better than this, make this variation or that, and it could have tragic consequences. But I do have implicit faith in my instruments, and that is what brought us through this overcast to a safe landing." Joseph knew that he was a child of God. He knew God could be counted on. He had implicit faith in God. And when everything around him had fallen apart, and his continued obedience to God was under the worst circumstances, his continuing faith to God led him to a position of great honour and power. That's not the end of the story, but we can go there another time. But the final insight we can draw from this chapter of Joseph's life is how Joseph responded to his loss. It determined not just his future, but the future of a nation. In December 2005, Noah Galloway was serving his second deployment in Iraq when his armoured vehicle hit a roadside bomb. He woke in hospital Christmas Day 2005, missing most of his left arm and left leg. And he struggled with those injuries. But he struggled even more with the loss of his military career. And his depression led to drinking and to a general decline in his life. But one day, he says he walked out of his bedroom and saw his three children sitting on the couch watching TV. And he says, "I realize that to my two boys, I am showing them what a man is. And that's what they're going to become one day. To my little girl, I'm showing her how a man is supposed to act. And that's what she's going to look for one day." And that terrified me. That was a turning point in Noah Galloway's life. He began to live again. He became an athlete, competing marathons and ultra-marathons. He even appeared on Dancing with the Stars. He became an influential speaker and started a charitable foundation. His life now serves as a powerful example of how our response to our losses can create a new future for us and for all those in our sphere of influence. And he said in one interview, "We have to realize that we carve the paths that are laid before us. Find that thing in your life that is bigger than your fears. When everything else that mattered to Joseph was torn away from him, he found the one thing that was bigger than his fears, his faith in God. Joseph remembered that he was a child of a merciful and faithful God. And he let that knowledge guide his perspective and his actions. His faithfulness didn't just affect his future. It affected the future of his family and the whole nation. When I sit down with a couple to do baptism preparation with them, one of the things that I say to them, whether you like it or not, you are a role model for your children. How you live your life determines how your children have the opportunity to live theirs. They will make their own decisions, yes, but you set the example. Joseph's faithfulness didn't just affect his future, but his nation as well. Our God is a God of hope. Our God is a God who promises that in all things he will work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. So I'd encourage you, make that conscious decision to trust God and live as God's witnesses, even in the worst of your circumstances, and you will see God use his faithfulness to change your future and to influence the lives around you. We are called to be a lighthouse into this community. May our lives reflect Christ in all that we do.